Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now, our guest is Steve Moore. We're going to talk about one aspect of the economy, specifically related to drug pricing. And Steve is with FreedomWorks, freedomworks.org. Steve, great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Jerry. Great to be with you again.
Sure. And just briefly, for those not familiar with your background, you have been an advisor for President Trump. You helped, in fact, with the economy that's started to move around, you know, changed quite a bit, actually, from the Obama economy to Trump economy, although Obama wants to take credit for it.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's been a blockbuster economy now for 2.5 years. It's slowed down a little bit, but I don't buy for a minute any of this recession talk. I think, you know, we're going to see continued, strong growth. And, you know, we have 7.5 million more jobs than people to fill them right now. So that's a really nice a situation for workers. So, we're very proud of, you know, what we've accomplished. And I don't see this, you know, coming to an end anytime soon. I think, you know, we look at consumers are, you know, they've got, you know, pretty full wallets now. They're spending. The numbers are really good for consumers. And the numbers are good for a lot of our, small businesses being very optimistic about the future. So I don't see, I think all this, our talk, our word talk of recession is overblown.
Do you think that it's possibly a strategy to almost try and bring a recession on?
Well, I think for some people it is. Yeah, for people who hate Trump and, you know, for a lot of the Democrats, they'd like to see millions of people lose their jobs so they can retake political power. I think that's rather unpatriotic and sinister, actually, to root against America. I mean, I didn't like Barack Obama's policies very much, but I never rooted against him or America. So I think it shows you how completely obsessed Democrats are with taking back power at whatever cost.
Yeah, Bill Maher said that, let's hope that there is a recession. That way we can get Trump out of there.
Yeah, that's easy for him to say. He makes, what, $20 million a year? So if he loses his job, it's not going to be a big sacrifice. But people living paycheck to paycheck, which is half of Americans, you know, they lose their jobs, they suffer. And I guess for people like Bill Maher and others, that's the kind of collateral damage that they're willing to take. And, you know, the irony is these people talk about how much they care about working class Americans.
Yeah. You know, by the way, and before we get into the drug thing, the drug pricing and so forth, continuing on the same vein, it seems to me, you know, when I keep hearing about how any Democrat, even by name, will beat Trump, even as much as by 9 point, and maybe it's early out on this, but it seems like I don't get this. I don't get these polls.
Well, remember that the poll said in 2016 that Donald Trump had close to zero chance of winning. And, you know, I don't know why anybody pays attention to these polls. You know, look, I think Trump, if the economy stays strong like it is now, Trump will win a nice, not a Reagan-style landslide reelection, but he will win reelection fairly handily. Then if the economy goes south on him, then I think he could be in some real trouble. And, you know, that's why all this talk about, you know, recession is so troubling to me, because, you know, we need to keep the economy growing rapidly to keep, you know, providing Americans with higher wages and better jobs and more job opportunities.
All right, let's focus on prescription drugs, the costs for them, and what solutions might be good and what solutions might be harmful, actually, to the economy.
Well, let's start with the fact that, you know, I don't understand why it is that so many people are now, you know, villainizing and demonizing our drug companies, our pharmaceutical industry. I mean, these are the drugs companies that have provided, you know, wonder drugs that have saved millions and millions of lives, not just in the United States, but around the world. And, you know, what's happened with like cancer drugs and, you know, heart disease drugs and drugs to deal with, other kind of crippling ailments has been phenomenal over the last, 30 and 40 years. And we want to win the race for the cure for cancer and for all sorts of Alzheimer's and epilepsy and things of that nature. And you need to have a vibrant drug industry to do that, right? And so this idea that, you know, as Elizabeth Warren says, that these are somehow evil companies, I think is really preposterous. Now, we all want lower drug prices, you know, absolutely. And some of the drug companies have engaged in some predatory pricing practices that I don't like. So I'm not going to always defend the drug companies. But let's remember that if you take the profits out of making new drugs, then you're going to slow the development of new drugs. And I don't want to see that happen. I want to see, you know, in the next 10 and 20 years, you know, cures to all of these terrible diseases. And I don't want to slow down the process. So I don't like the idea of importing price controls from other countries, because I think that will, you know, mean fewer new drugs, and it could run some of these companies out of business.
Hmm. How does that actually work? I mean, for example, sometimes people are able to get through the internet, maybe some sort of generic brand, but it's maybe from another country or something. And
tell
us of that. How does
so
that
other
work?
Countries, what, the way it works, Jerry, is other countries impose price controls. So, and not just poor countries. I mean, countries that
like
have
Canada.
The capability of pay. Yeah, Canada, countries, many of the European countries do. Even, you know, many affluent Chinese and Japanese get, you know, these drugs at very reduced prices. And it's not fair that these countries, you know, pay less for the drugs that we develop than Americans do. I mean, that just isn't fair. And that's not a sustainable situation. These countries have to pay for our research and development costs, you know, and stop stealing our intellectual, you know, property, because that's what a drug is. It's, you know, people say, well, gee, it only costs, you know, a few dollars to, you know, to produce one of these drugs. Why do they have to charge, you know, $40 for it? And I said, well, yeah, the price of, you know, producing one more of these drugs may be only 50 cents, but it cost $1 billion to invent it in the first place. And if they can't recoup the $1 billion cost, because that is pretty close to the average cost of a new wonder drug, $1 billion, Jerry. And if the companies can't charge to recoup those costs, they're not going to do it. And that's my worry. I want to make sure that we're not crippling our drug industry, because everyone has a relative or a friend who, or they themselves, you know, have these terrible, you know, ailments that we want to make sure that we can eradicate.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. How are generic drugs developed? I mean, I, for example, take some cholesterol lowering medicine,
right,
and I'm glad that it's generic and available that way, but I guess, you know, somebody way back when, you know, invented the first Lipitor or whatever it was, you know, cholesterol-lowering drugs.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the way, that's a good question. A lot of people don't, you know, understand how this process works. So, you know, the way our patent process works, let's say you and I have a drug company and we develop some kind of wonder drug. We have a certain, and let's assume that we have actually the, you know, we get a patent for this from the patent office. We would get, and I don't know the exact number of years, 8, 9, 10, 12 years, where we have the exclusive right to sell that drug because we invented it. And then what happens is after that period is up, then generics can come in and, you know, charge a lower price. They can copycat the drug. That's the way the law works. And what happens is that these other countries are not honoring the patents, and they are basically taking the drugs at much lower costs. And they basically tell the companies, unless you sell this to us at, you know, a much lower cost than Americans are paying, we're just going to steal the patents from you. And in fact, many times that happens.
Wow.
We cannot allow that to happen. So one of the, you know, one of the ways we have to deal with this is get tougher with these countries that are stealing our patents. It's not fair.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, though, too, because if you're getting, let's say, a drug from another country and there's no safeguards of safety or whatever, you know, what if the drug itself is even compromised, and then instead of being a healing, it's something that harms you?
Well, that's exactly right, and that happens, too. So those foreign drugs that come in, you know, that are kind of bootlegged into the country, those can be very dangerous and unsafe, and sometimes they're not even the drug that you think they are, and they, you know, they may not be unsafe, but they're not going to cure your problem. And so, you know, we want Americans to buy the drugs here in the United States. We want to lower the price. There are things we can do to make that happen, but I think this idea of bringing in the price controls from the other countries, because if we're not going to pay for the drugs, nobody is, and if nobody pays for them, we're not going to have any drug industry, and we're going to ground, you know, the race to the cure to a halt.
Okay, so you could see somebody like Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, they're out in the, you know, the field, they're, you know, politicking and so forth, then somebody says, well, I don't want my mother to have to choose between, you know, her drugs or eating dog food, you know, that kind of thing. So what's the best way to say, you know, especially when these people do want these wonder drugs?
Well, you know, not everybody can have, you know, the very best, you know, medicine when it's first comes out, because, you know, the costs are so expensive, you know, with a new, you know, whether it's a medical procedure or some kind of medical device. And, you know, the first people who get these things tend to be wealthier people who can afford it. But then over time, you know, within a decade, these things come down in price. And that's been true of everything, Jerry. I mean, that's true of MRIs. It's true of every drug and vaccine. You know, in the short term, you know, when the first things first come out, you know, the very, very wealthiest people get it. And then everybody can afford it over time. And that's the way the process works. And it will continue to work that way. Now, we also have federal programs, right, for, you know, if you don't have an income to be able to buy a drug that is going to keep you safe and you know, prevent deaths, we subsidize that through, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, Obamacare, other programs. So we don't cripple our drug industry as a means of providing people with drugs.
Hmm. And I understand that Governor, I mean, he used to be governor, but Senator Rick Scott of Florida and Bernie Sanders, who's an out-and-out socialist, but they both came up with a plan that was very similar, despite Scott being a Republican.
Well, I like Rick Scott. I mean, by the way, I think he's one of the smartest guys in the.
Yeah, I like him too.
And he really understands the healthcare industry. I don't necessarily. I need to understand better. I need to sit down with him and really understand what he's come up with. But the fact that he's got Bernie Sanders, you know, with him on this makes me very nervous, Jerry.
Yeah.
And I think it you know, look, you know, he's in Florida, and Florida has a lot of seniors, and seniors use a lot of drugs. So, you know, some of that is to try, you know, benefit his constituents, and I respect that. But I don't necessarily agree with his proposal. I think we want to create, you know, there's a reason that 75 to 80% of the wonder drugs over the last 25 years have come from the United States, because we're the only ones that are developing these. And if we don't develop them, Jerry, who will?
Hmm. Now, what exactly is this international pricing index? What does that mean?
Well, that means you take all the prices of all the price controls countries, you take an average of that, and then you say American companies can only, you know, charge that price here in the United States. And that's essentially importing price controls. And I think that's the wrong approach. The right approach is to force these other countries to pay their fair share for these drugs. If they did, then these companies could bring down the price for American companies. But that proposal doesn't do that, right? It keeps the price controls in place. And it just basically takes all the profits eventually out of producing drugs in the first place.
And I understand President Trump said he has actually considered the possibility of an executive order aimed at lowering the drug prices to be more in line with other countries' prices.
Countries, yeah. Yeah, and look, again, we all want low drug prices. I mean, we want low prices of everything. And I just do worry, you know, and I've talked to the president about this, that, you know, we want to make sure we still have a vibrant industry. And so, you know, we should rely more on generics and allow them to, you know, compete, and which will bring down prices. But, you know, you've got to remember, folks, that when it costs $1 billion to produce a new drug for, you know, MS or Parkinson's disease or, you know, or Alzheimer's or some, you know, forms of childhood cancer, it is worth the cost, you know, for us to pay for those drugs. I mean, I have a sister whose daughter has epilepsy. I mean, she would give up everything she has if we had a cure for epilepsy. So drugs are cheap. They're not expensive compared to the alternative of not having them at all.
Yeah. All right. Excellent. Steve Moore, FreedomWorks.org. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Jerry.